We want to welcome everyone here physically, and for those of you who are watching the live stream to our 5 o'clock Sunday evening Bible study here at Ephesus. And we're grateful that you are able to be with us and to join us in this study. Let's begin by singing a few songs. You're going to be teaching. You're going to take my spot, right? I'm not even going to have to be up here before too long. We're going to be looking at the Ten Commandments, as we have been over the last few nights, and how they apply to us as a 21st century Christian. As we begin to open our Bibles up, let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for this day and the many blessings of which you have so graciously bestowed to us. Above all, we're so thankful for your Son and the life that is offered to all over the world, to all of us, that we could spend eternity with you. Father, we pray for any and all those who are considering to obey the gospel, that they will be encouraged to do so, and if the case may be, even this very night. Father, we pray that you will forgive us all from our sins and be with us as we open up our Bibles, and we are able to learn what you would have us to do in our daily walks of life. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. So, last week we looked at hanky-panky, thou shalt not commit adultery. So we examined that a marriage, and that is the only place that sex should be involved. And here are the Ten Commandments for you. And so this evening we will be looking at number 8, you shall not steal. Thou shalt not steal. That is very clear. And so we're going to kind of be looking at this under the perspective of just simply honoring property. If it's not yours and it doesn't belong to you, it's not just there for the taking. It doesn't matter what the opportunity may present itself, or maybe even necessarily that it has to be, an ox or somebody's cell phone. It could also be you can't steal those objects or feelings or rights or their knowledge, their potential, their ability. That, just not stealing thing and honoring and loving one another. And I think about one of the most practical daily opportunities for us to love our neighbor is that idea of not stealing and taking advantage of our neighbor and just simply honoring them. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15 is where this comes from, and it's listed out that thou shalt not steal. 4 very simple words. Has anyone here ever stolen anything? Me, I'm the only one. I stole a pretty little blonde girl's heart one time. Well, that maybe you have stolen something. Maybe you have taken something that doesn't belong to you, and maybe used something that doesn't belong to you. Maybe you borrowed without permission, and maybe you borrowed without permission and you had full intentions of returning it and you forgot to return it. And so maybe you ended up stealing it even though you didn't set out to steal it. And maybe sometimes you did send out, I'm going to just go borrow this and not ask, because it's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is permission. So we talked some this evening about what stealing was and what did stealing look like with the boys, and we asked several different things about, like, what did you consider stealing, or what would that mean? What would that be? And they said, well, that meant that if I don't want to share my toys, somebody can't just take them. You have that kind of perception of it. But it's this idea that you can't just take something that doesn't belong to you. And even at a very young age, I mean, children understand that, and they easily understand that. Levi realized that there was some, I don't even know what they are at school, but they're little magnets that they keep on their desk, and the teacher said that some went missing. And so he was like, somebody stole them. You're not supposed to, steal stuff. And so it's something that's very easily understood. And so we still ask this question, though, is how do we break this command? What are some ways that we break this command? Well, of course, obviously, we take something that is not ours. That would be very clear and obvious. The law, and I use that in quotation marks just to kind of maybe differentiate there. I mean, we're talking about the state law or the government law. They break theft up into different types, and this is by no means, you know, an all-inclusive list of the way they break it down, but there's petty theft and there's larceny, there's theft of property, possession of stolen property. And so they have all of these laid out and even more, many, many more. And then there's different degrees. There's first degree, second degree, third degree, fourth degree. And some of that has to deal with how much you have stolen or taken, from a very small amount. Maybe it was something real small. And then they even have it broke down even more where, well, it was, petty theft, fourth degree shoplifting. You know, something like that where someone may have snatched a Dr. Pepper and a Snickers bar at the store and they just, you know, went out without paying. And so all of these are, in fact, breaking the law, and they are breaking the commandment of thou shalt not steal. So no matter how you break it down, this is simply something that is obvious, that is when we take something that is not ours. Another way to think about this, and maybe it's not as obvious, is failing to give full value. So in other words, you have offered up an opportunity to someone. Maybe you as a company have overcharged for goods just simply because you could. Maybe because I'm going to just take advantage of you. I know you're in need, and so I'm going to kind of, you know, stick it to you, so to speak. Employers that don't provide and take care of employees. And then also, but it's also the other way, failing to give full value of us being employees. And putting forth effort and not being a lazy employee and not here, I'm not here just to ride and cash a check. That's not what it's about. We are supposed to be giving our full diligence. Look, if I want to go to Mildred's on my lunch break, I can go to Mildred's on my lunch break. And so we have this idea here that we need to be giving our full effort, and we don't need to be lazy in our work, because in that case, we are, in a way, stealing. We're taking money that we supposedly earned and we put in effort for, and we're getting that when it does not belong to us. False or misleading claims of value, you know, saying, here, I'm giving you a pound of bacon, but it's really only 14 ounces, or it's only 12 ounces. And so we understand this. Proverbs 16, verse 11 says, honest scales and balances belong to the Lord. All weights in the bag are His making. So we do things honestly. We do not try to rip somebody off, and we don't try to take advantage of them, because in a way we would be, in fact, stealing. We're taking something that is not truly being purchased. Denying someone else's rights. When I was looking at this and studying this, and I began to examine maybe some things that were a little bit different in the way of looking at thou shalt not steal, this was one of the things that came up, because in fact some people feel like their right to do something oversteps the fact whether it's the right thing to do or not. Just because you have the right to do something doesn't necessarily mean that you should do it. An example would be you have the right of freedom of speech, but that does not give you the right to, as the Constitution even explains, for you to go into a theater and yell fire. You would be, you know, causing all kinds of chaos and all kind of disruption by doing that, and potentially causing harm by doing such a thing. So you can't deny and take away someone else's right. You would be, in fact, stealing their rights and their opportunities. And then one last thing to look at as we kind of break this command down is failing to give to the Lord. I think when this is really kind of setting up the mindset that we ought to have in obeying this command, failing to give to the Lord the things that are His. There is a command in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 concerning the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of the week, every one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. When I arrive, whomever you may approve, I will send those with your letters to carry to Jerusalem. So we are to give to the Lord. We are not to hold back from what we are to give unto God, and to give Him the things that are truly due to Him. And with the gracious generosity of God, and we should be, you know, trying to replicate that as His children and being about with the same mind and the same attitude. And, you know, just simply putting, no one is impressed with a stingy Christian. If we are to profess that we are Christians and we have not love, we have not compassion, we have not mercy, we do not try to help those in need, what kind of impression is that making upon the world? Well, it is obviously making an impression that they want nothing to do with. it is making an impression of, if that is what a Christian is, then I want no part of that. That's not the way that people in general should be, let alone someone who is professing to be a believer in God, and in fact, the reflection of God on this earth. What are some comments on how we kind of break this up, taking something that's not ours? Does anyone have anything that they would like to add, or maybe a different viewpoint upon this? Okay, so with all of the thou shalt not, when we read through the Ten Commandments, that is a very repetitive phrase. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. All of these thou shalt nots, well, what should we do then? And I think that is really where the transition of the mentality and the thinking and our perspective as Christians should be. It's like, well, if I should not do something, then what should I do? Is it nothing? Should I lean on the arms of do nothing and the backbones of even less? I mean, what is the attitude that we should have? What are some of the things that we should do? Well, I would think the polar opposite of stealing and trying to take advantage of someone would be, in fact, good stewardship and being responsible for the things that God has given us to manage. God provides us with everything that we have. Our health, our money, our talents, our opportunities, our abilities. And so if we are going to reflect the polar opposite of thou shalt not steal, we're going to honor others' property, then we should honor the fact that God owns everything. And in fact, that this is something else that Adam has been given for him to manage and to be a steward of. It's not mine to go take it from him because it is all, in fact, God's. It's not my place to just say, Adam, you don't know what I'm taking over. I'm taking it from you. That's not the way it should be. But rather, we should all be encouraging into one another and thinking of the responsibility that we have to be good stewards of the things that God has given us. And in a like manner, that would involve us with our things, our time, our money, our possessions, our abilities. We should set proper priorities. And if we set our priorities up in order, then I believe everything else seems to fall into place. And of course, first and foremost, the first portion and the first concentration of all the things that we should do is to be giving it unto the Lord. The first commandment kind of breaks that down for us when it says, you know, you shall have no other gods before me. He puts himself first. He puts himself in the right position, his rightful position, that we should honor and that we should attribute everything to him. So we should give our first portion to the Lord. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, it says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. We have it very clearly laid out for us. You will, in fact, choose. As I mentioned this morning, you are making the decision, consciously or unconsciously, you are making the decision whether you are wanting to follow after God or whether you are choosing to continue to follow after the world. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31, a few verses later, it says this, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what we will wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. What are some reasons that people steal? Lack of money. There is some who steal for, in fact, the reason that they have not something. They steal food because they're hungry and they don't have anything to purchase food with. They have no way to, you know, gather food. So some people steal out of need. Somebody have anything else? Out of greed. Yeah, so some people steal just because they want more. Some people steal because I just want to have more and more and more. Anything else? Some people steal just because they're lazy. They don't want to work. They don't want to put forth effort into getting a job and going about and doing things. Somebody have something else?
Some people do it just because they can.
Some people do it just because they can. And I'm familiar with teenage boys, having been one. And sometimes you do something just because you want to see if you can get away with it. You just want to see if you can get by with it and see if it can be done. And then that kind of grows into, well, if that worked, then what else is going to work? What can I do next? If I can steal that pie, I wonder if, you know, if I can steal a ham with it. You know, so it kind of gets into this thing of, I don't really need it. I don't really want it. I don't have any greed. I just want to see if I can do it. But all of these things have one thing in common. That they didn't put God first. So whatever the reasoning is that we put up, as far as maybe the why we stole, none of them have anything to do with us seeking after God and His righteousness. So nothing has to do about the kingdom. None of these have anything to do with us seeking after Him. It has to do about personal feelings. And maybe it's the fact that I'm concerned about what I'm going to eat. Maybe it's concerned about what I'm going to drink or what I'm going to put on. Or maybe it's the fact that I've got something to put on and I want something nicer to put on, but I can't afford it, but I want to look good. And maybe it's the fact that, you know, I don't want to go out and I don't want to work. I would just rather try to figure out a way to steal something, and if I can get by with this or that or the other. Or maybe it's just a simple fact that I want to see what I can do. But none of these put God first. And so if we set our priorities up in the way that they should be, in the way that God has directed them to be, and the way that our just a knee-jerk reaction should be in life, it should be that we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then everything else will seem to fall into place. And it never ceases to amaze me how often that when we begin to get our priorities in order, or if someone has been away from the Lord and they begin to get their priorities in order, how they say it just seems like all the blessings flow. And how the church comes together to help those who are seeking after God and encouraging one another. The next thing that I think about when we put our priorities in order as far as being good stewards, you put your family. You do what you can to take care of your family. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse 8. So, we're to take care of our family as a believer. And in what ways can we take care of our families? Well, we could say, you know, basic, simple necessities are met. You know, we think about maybe the common things that they need, you know, food, clothing, shelter, you know, these kind of things. We're going to get the basic necessities taken care of. I think that was in, you know, if you've taken a basic civics class, you understand, you know, that we need these things, food, clothing, shelter. And then I think now even included is transportation. And if we think about it in Bible times, well, it may have been a foot or it may have been, you know, from a horse, but these things were met and these things were taken care of. What other ways may one take care of his family? Make sure they're being spiritually fed as well. So we have to make sure that if we are going to be taking care of our family, we're not just concerned about the physical necessities of this world, but we're concerned about the entire soul. And nothing has been put on or more pressure put to taking care of one's family than to the parents. And so that they are bringing up these children and that they are to teach their children and to love their children and take care of them and to teach them in the way that they should go. And so we should be, especially maybe as fathers, very intent on training our children and teaching our children and making sure that they are spiritually fed and that they know right from wrong and what is good and what is bad. And of course, always growing from that milk to the mature food of the Word. What are some other ways one can take care of their family?
By a good example.
By being a good example. And so we're setting forth a pattern and we're setting forth an example for our family to follow after. A name that they can look up to and understand and to know that they really did love me, that they really did have my best interest at heart, even though maybe I rejected it in the moment, maybe I resented them for it, that we can be an example, just as we have examples throughout Scripture, that we can be examples for our family. I find it very, I don't know if, what the correct word is, but at the very least, interesting. How sincere Paul is in this statement when he's writing to Timothy, that he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And so, with that kind of language and with those words being used, we should be concerned and we should be sincere, and it should be an intent of ours to make sure that our family is taken care of, especially those of our own household. So we need to make sure our commitments are met. If we've put God first and we're taking care of our family, we have other commitments that we also have to meet, and we have to take care of, and we have to be concerned about. And here is one of the most beloved things I like to talk about. And they said to him, Caesar's. Then he said to them, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. So I hate taxes. I don't like anything about it. Don't like trying to get it all figured out. Don't like trying to talk to an accountant about getting it figured out. Try to understand it. Try to read. Try to learn. Try to figure out more. I just don't like it. Here is the thing about it, though. It is not only something that we should do as citizens, but it is also something that is clearly laid out for us in Scripture as something that we as Christians are supposed to do. Now, I'm all about, if I'm going to be a good steward of God's money, to not be reckless and wasteful with it. And in my viewpoint, there is nothing more reckless or wasteful with my money than the way the government tends to want to spend it. So with that being said, it is also my diligence that I give the things to Caesar that are Caesar's, or I give the things to the government, the things that are the government's, and nothing more and nothing less. And what does that mean? That means that I don't start counting deductions that aren't real, but I count every one of them I can. And it doesn't mean that I try to, adopt a dog and say it's a child. But I'm going to count all three of them as long as I can. And we're going to do everything that we can to not be wasteful and do our due diligence in giving the things to Caesar that are Caesar's. And so we are to be, recognizing that. And that is one of the commitments that we have, as far as living here and working here and doing the things that we do. We are going to pay taxes. We have bills, we have loans, we have living and recreational expenses, we have savings and investments, and you have light bills to pay. And my paycheck really appreciates it when y'all do pay the light bills. And if there's one thing that gets stolen more than anything in this area, it's electricity. And you see some real, what was the right word, Adam? Real dangerous ways of doing it. You see some people that kind of leading along with what Brother Dwight talked about, that if they would have put that much effort into working, they would make a really good living. But they're just trying to figure out another way to go around it and to do other things. Well, we have those commitments. We have those obligations. If we said we are going to pay someone something, then it is our duty, it is our obligation to pay that. We do not strike hands with someone in an agreement, in a contract, and then we try to go back on it. We don't say we will purchase this and we will pay you X number of dollars a month, and then we don't do that. We just try to see if we can get away with not doing it. We have these commitments, and we as Christians should definitely be living as an example that people can look to as far as people that we meet our commitments, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in the Spirit, and in serving the Lord. So we avoid the temptation to steal if And so we kind of, how do we avoid being tempted to steal? And so we talked about some of the reasons that people do steal. We talked about some of the priorities that we can set up. Well, how can we avoid the temptation to steal? Well, if we learn to be satisfied. We learn in all ways, as Paul would say, to be content. We learn to be content in the things that we have, whether it is a great amount and whether it is a little. And Paul writes this, and typically we think about maybe people that the rags to riches story, you know, that they came from nothing and then they built this empire, or maybe we hear about the reverse effect of that, and they had this great empire and then they lost it all by being wasteful and blowing everything. But it almost, and in looking at Paul's life, it was not one extreme to the other. It was an ebb and flow of good and bad, and it was constantly up and down. And he said, I have learned in all these ways to be content. And I have learned to, you know, live in a house, and I've learned to hold on to a plank in the middle of the ocean. I have learned to be satisfied and to be content with all the things that I have had. We learn to give thanks. And I think that is one of the keys to learning to be satisfied and learning to be content, is having a grateful heart and understanding that everything that I have comes from God. And if you think back to what we looked at in Matthew 6, that Jesus is speaking and he says, you know, all of these things the Gentiles seek after, but you need to be focused on the kingdom of God, serving God and His righteousness. And all these other things will be added to you. And be thankful that you got what you got. And in all situations throughout my life, I've always been able to see easily someone that is worse off than I. And although I feel like, I've got nothing, well, there's someone else with less, and how grateful that I should be. And how thankful I should be that God gives me these things. And so if we have a thankful heart and we change our spirit to one that is thankful and grateful for the things that we have, then we also recognize the fact that that thing belongs to someone else and it's not mine to take it. And it also changes us to be thankful that when we become honest in our dealings and in our transactions and in our trades and in our agreements with one another, that we give thanks in all of these things. We learn to be faithful. With the temptation to steal, we mentioned one of the reasons that people steal is just simply because of, one of the reasons maybe just because of greed. It is so easily to fall into the category of greed. It is the easiest thing in all of the world to look at someone else and say, you're greedy. And it's the hardest thing in the world to look at yourself and say, you're being greedy. And then those that are listed out as those who will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, those that are greedy is listed in, right along with those who are idolaters and murderers and thieves. We have to understand that if we are going to be faithful and we are going to honor the things that are others, that we are going to, in fact, there is no better way to love your neighbor as yourself than, in fact, to honor their stuff as their stuff and to take care of them. And all of this is learning to be faithful and learning to walk by faith. Is there any comments or questions on some of the stuff we've gone over thus far? Okay. So here's a question for you, and you can go as detailed into this if you feel like speaking as you would like. But what about a time where you took something that didn't belong to you? How did you feel?
Like you're going to have a nervous breakdown.
You're going to have a nervous breakdown. Man, what if I get caught? That's the thing. It's the, I'm going to get caught. And every shadow, every lurking corner, every move is one that is jumping. Yeah.
It wasn't mine. But I should have just picked it up and gave it back to the owner, but I didn't.
I hear about opportunities to take something that's not yours, and having talked with some school administration people and some high school coaches of various sports, they said, you hear about these coaches or principals getting busted for embezzling money and taking money. They said, you don't understand how easy it is to just stick it in your pocket. Talking about, something that's just, it's just laying there, who does that go to? I don't know, but it goes in my pocket now, or it's, I'm taking the gate money in, and they don't know how many tickets we sold at this football game. It looked like there's 5,000 people there. They won't have a clue how much is gone. So they just slide it in your pocket. And then a doctor was talking about, with the, coronavirus relief and some of the payments that go out, how easy it was just to document a certain case and a certain scenario to receive the money and to receive the benefits. And kind of, back to taking advantage of something, taking something that doesn't belong to you. And I oftentimes wonder about, is there any feeling there?
No, man, I didn't need the money.
Yeah. Anything else?
There's no satisfaction in taking something that you didn't work for, that you don't deserve. It's never a good thing to just someone even to give you something, for instance, that's undeserving.
Yeah.
It's much more satisfying if you had to give something to get something.
Yeah, that feeling of satisfaction, like you mentioned about, when you lay your head down to sleep, you put in, I got this, but I put in that work for it. I put in that effort for it. And that's why that worked out that way. But whenever it's that dishonest gain, it's a thing that will make you toss and turn, and it's hard to rest that head on the pillow. In which way does this command tempt you the most, and why? I don't know. Back to what I was talking about with the school officials and the doctors and stuff. I jumped ahead of myself. It really kind of went more along with this. It was just because it was an opportunity that was there, and they said I can do this, and nobody's ever going to find out. And the old line is, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm a Robin Hood. That's the rich. We're the poor. I can take it from them, and they'll never know about it. And that's some of the thinking. And a lot of times, that's the way people try to maybe justify it in their mind why they did what they did or the events that occurred that led to that. But that's something that everyone will independently answer upon themselves. And this is something I want you to just kind of think about and to examine within your own self, to think about those brothers and sisters that you know that are good stewards. And I want you to think about someone that you know that is a good steward or that you feel is a good steward, and talk with him or her and to help understand how or maybe why or what led to that, and in order to help, grow ourselves into being good stewards and good managers of the things that God has given us. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you look at somebody and say, well, they got a lot of money. It means that they take care of what they have. and the way that they treat things and they honor things and the way they live their life as a Christian. And I think that's a good practical thing that you could exchange there is, you know, how much talking do we do amongst our brethren about our trials and our adversities and the things that we face and our challenges and how we can help one another maybe avoid some of the same pitfalls that we have experienced. And so try to encourage us to talk with one another. That was one of the good things about our little trip this past weekend was we had that opportunity. And we got to talk with that. Even if it didn't get shared or discussed in the moment, we've hopefully built a relationship that when that moment does arise that we need to talk about something, we feel like I can talk to someone. Here's number four. What would it take to make you to make you satisfied financially? And we think about this and we go, well, my answer is always like the Forrest Gump line. He said, you know, I got a letter in the mail one day, and they said, I ain't got to worry about money no more. And that's good. That's one less thing. And so he was just kind of like, he hit this moment because Lieutenant Dan put his money in Apple that he didn't have to worry about money no more. So he just cut that grass for free down there at Greenbow High School. So what is it for us that makes us satisfied financially? And what we have to do is we have to examine that and to look at that and say, when is it now greed? And that is the thing that we're always examining. And it's that dichotomy amongst ourselves that when is this point hit? And I think above all things, the thing that point is really hit when we understand and when we're able to live that life in such a way that we are not necessarily not worried about money because we're a gazillionaire, like Forrest Gump said, but it's because we've gained the perspective that I don't own any of it anyhow. It's all God's. I'm here to manage it. And the most important thing in my life is to follow after Him, to serve God, and to love my neighbor as myself. And I think that is when that really kind of ticks over. If you're using a songbook, you can turn to number 741. There's a song of encouragement that we'll sing in just a moment. I want to think about this song in such a way. We'll kind of look at this as our invitation is extended. It says, not all earth's gold and silver can make a sinner whole. And I want to be upfront with you that I've only heard this song a couple of times, and I couldn't really remember exactly how it went. But as I was reading through it, I thought how it went hand in hand so well with this lesson that it needed to be we needed to take some attention to it. Not all earth's gold and silver can make a sinner whole. What shall it profit thee, O man, if thou should lose your soul? Whenever we examine our life and the way that we live our lives, what are we trading off for our soul? It's evident by some that they see their soul as something that has no value, and that it is something that can be easily traded away, easily given away, and something easily thrown away. But the soul that we have within us is our greatest possession. It is the thing that tells us where we will live our eternity out at. The soul of man will never die in a place of heaven. When we read verse 2, it says, the heaping up of riches to many seems life's goal, but in the eager rush for wealth, forgotten is the soul. This solemn question and answer, is worldly gain thy goal? Can fleeting riches be compared to an immortal soul? If you're here this evening and you have put all of those things in place of God and you've put it in place of your soul and you've sought out after these things, you've introduced into your life this world of stealing and not honoring property as someone else's, then we would love to encourage you in your walk to repent of that and to walk away from that. Perhaps you're here this evening, you've been contemplating being a Christian and becoming a Christian. The most beautiful thing in the world is the fact that you can bury all of those old sins in a watery grave of baptism, repenting of them and living a new life. And those things don't, as we would say, those things don't count against you no more. If you're here and you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, please come as we stand, as we sing.